Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections oder Excel-Superkräfte?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Ich fühle mich plötzlich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Abgabefrist 31. Juli.
Was?
Schaffst du ganz entspannt mit Wieso-Steuer?
Ach, ja.
Günstig ohne App. Bei Aldi gibt es einen Preis für alle. Diese Woche Bio-Joghurt mit Crispy-Müsli, 150 Gramm für nur 89 Cent. Oder Iglo-Rahmspinat, 750 Gramm für nur 1,69 Euro. Entdecke weitere Angebote in deinem Aldi Nord. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
From the basement of the Bob and Tom Studios, it's that Josh Arnold podcast. Well, hello there. Oh, my goodness, so glad to have you back here on Christmas week. How about that? Boy, just a couple days away. What a good time to enjoy yourself. And I'm glad you're here to enjoy yourself with me. You're going to like this week's show, I think. Boy, tremendous guest, that's for sure. Just a terrific get, as they say. Not sure how we did it, but we pulled it off. That's right, this week's guest is you! It's you! And my goodness, will you get a load of you? Look at you. You look great. I hope you're feeling well. And I hope you're enjoying the holiday season and that you're ready for Christmas. And if you celebrate something other than that, I hope you're having a great time. And, I'm glad that you took some time out to sit with me this week. We have a very fine sponsor, and a sponsor that's very fitting for this time of year. This week's sponsor, a warm blanket. Oh, my goodness. It's a little chilly out. You settle down inside and wrap yourself up in a nice warm blanket. Maybe you watch some TV or do a little reading or, heck, you climb into bed with or without somebody and, really soak in that warmth. Ideally, your blanket is soft. Maybe you like it heavy. You know, sort of a security type thing, or maybe you like a lighter blanket. Either way, the key to this blanket is warmth. And I want to thank a warm blanket for sponsoring. And why don't you enjoy a warm blanket sometime this week? I'm really good, I think, at selling these things. And it's a shame that they're not real. But anyway... look at this. I say we get right to it. We go ahead and hop on board and, make our way into Vocabulary Station. All right. Oh, I can see that somebody's running alongside the train there, wanting to hop on board. You can make it? Yeah. All right. Some nice gentleman helped her up on under the train. Well, here in Vocabulary Station, we celebrate words that aren't often celebrated, and, most likely they're forgotten. And this is one that you can absolutely use this week. It's you could probably guess what it is just based on how it's pronounced and spelled. It's a noun, and it's habitude. Habitude. Yes. And, the first five letters are the word habit, followed by U-D-E, habitude. All it means is customary behavior or maybe a customary procedure. So when you first arrive at an airport, it would be your habitude to go through security, that sort of thing. Well, all right, more personally, every morning when I come into the Bob and Tom studios, my habitude is to make a green tea for myself. So habitude and just a customary behavior. And I think there are a lot of customs and traditions around this time of year. I'll be talking about some coming up. So you could absolutely use this word this week. And I invite you to. Habitude. Last week's podcast, I talked a lot, primarily about my favorite Christmas films, and the feedback's been great. I appreciate everybody letting me know. I was worried that you wouldn't necessarily enjoy hearing me wax rhapsodic about movies. It's not terribly compelling content, but you all seem to like it, and I really appreciate it. If you didn't, I'm glad that you came back for this this episode. That's totally fine. But some good points here that you all made that I want to bring up now. First off, I did mention I had a question about the premise of a cable Christmas movie. Where a young woman is doing a DNA test and she finds out that she's 50% Jewish. And I thought, well, that's how could one's DNA tell you something like that? Well, I forgot that I'm an idiot, and B, forgot that there aren't just DNA tests out there. There are ancestry websites out there that can tell you who your ancestors are. And of course, those would let you know if you were a certain percentage Jewish. So thank you for those of you who wrote in and filled me in on that. You're absolutely right. The premise is not flawed. My knowledge is. So, so yes. Also, boy, you guys gave me some good movies to think about in terms of what to watch. In December or around Christmas time, one movie that I did not talk about, it wasn't on my list, but my gosh, it's huge. I don't know how I failed to mention it. A Christmas Story. It's such a classic, and the favorite of many. I'll be honest, I don't think I can say it's a favorite of mine. I think it's a good movie. And it's certainly one that I watched growing up every year. I mean, my family, it was habitude to watch A Christmas Story around Christmas. And here's my thing. It gives me a weird feeling. There's something off for me with that movie. I don't know if it's almost everything about it. I don't think it's as warm as I want it to be, or as like full of heart. I think it's kind of weird, and it's there's something about the tone and the literal tone, like the colors of the movie, that are off-putting to me. I don't think it's bad by any means. It's just, I don't feel great when I watch it. I don't know. There's something about it that's off. There are other movies like that. Alice in Wonderland and Pinocchio have always given, the Disney versions of those, have always given me this weird feeling where I'm just not comfortable. And there's something about A Christmas Story that I'm just not. Willy Wonka is another one of those movies. There's something about them that's off for me. And it's interesting to note that A Christmas Story was directed by the same guy who, his name's Bob Clark. He directed one of my favorite Christmas horror films called Black Christmas, which is really creepy. And he also, his most successful movie probably was Porky's. The same guy that directed A Christmas Story directed Porky's, which is that's the polar opposite of a family film. He was actually a pretty great, a good director. I mean, at the very least, he was varied in his storytelling skills. So anyway, I know it's, you know, Christmas Story is pretty sacrosanct, but it's just not on my list of favorites, even though I do think it's good. Others, you wrote in saying that, well, what about How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey? That's another movie that I think Jim Carrey's performance is stellar. It makes me laugh a lot. I think he's really, really funny, and I think he's he was perfectly cast. But that movie, to me, is just is there's an ugliness to it. It's very brash and weird angles and harsh colors and stuff. So it just doesn't it didn't make my list for those reasons. And then these movies. The following are all sort of non-traditional Christmas movies that you all enjoy, and I've watched them before, and yes, I liked them, but they're not on my they're not something I'll watch every December, but I really appreciate that you guys appreciate them. One is called Reindeer Games with Ben Affleck and Charlize Theron, and somebody wrote in saying, hey, Die Hard gets all the sort of action movie cred around Christmas time, but Reindeer Games certainly should be considered. And I think he's right. It's a fun movie. Gary Sinise plays a really good heavy, and it's fun. And then another action on Her Majesty's Secret Service, the Bond movie starring... oh, hell, I forget the guy's name, but he only did... one Bond movie. Why can't I remember it? Well, that's unfortunate. He's actually a pretty good Bond. At the time, he was widely disliked, but over time, it's become more appreciated. And there was a, you know what? The name of the guy is going to hit me like when I'm driving home or whatever, and it'll be, that's annoying. But another, well, it's, I guess, yeah, it's I would say non-traditional. It's called Rare Exports, and that's a wild flick. It's a, kind of a darker Christmas movie. Yeah, no, it absolutely, I mean, more along the lines of like Krampus or something like that. There are a few of those like that where they show a darker side of the holiday. But that's also a fun one if you're into that kind of thing. I may have just sort of belched into the mic. If you didn't hear it, Jason, ignore all of this. If you did, perhaps we'll delete that. let's see here. Thank you again for your feedback from the Christmas movie podcast I did. This week, oh boy, I really do like the holidays. And every year, I make it a point to read A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And it may sound dry or boring. We all know the story, of course. I mean, there have been so many iterations of it, but particularly cinematically, and I'm sure we all have our favorite versions. It was a story I never used to really care that much about. I've always loved Scrooged, the Bill Murray version, but otherwise I didn't really care. And then I had read it in, I don't know, elementary school or junior high or something. But I recently, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, decided, hey, I'm going to read this again, and loved it. I didn't realize as a kid how funny it is. Actually, there's a lot of humor in it, and it's now become habitude for me to, or it's an habitude, I don't know, but... every year I read it. It takes me 3 or 4 hours or whatever. It's not a terribly long book, but it's a chunk of the day. And I just love it. If you've never read it, give it a shot. It takes a little bit of work. It's, you know, it's Dickens, but man, it's well worth the trip. And anyway, that this year I haven't read that yet. I'm going to, sometime this week. But what I did read was something new to me. And, well, it's what I enjoyed this week. Oh, yes. Why not imagine Ebenezer Scrooge? Oh no, you know what we should do? This isn't Ebenezer Scrooge walking down the street. This is one of the ghosts making his way to... Oh, yep, there he is. Heading right there to Scrooge's home. Gonna wake him up and say, hey, pal, you've got some lessons to learn here. Anyway, what I enjoyed this week wasn't a... Well, I enjoyed many things, but what I'd like to tell you about wasn't a novel like A Christmas Carol is, but a short story. I love short stories. They're such an art, and they really are a different beast than a novel for a few reasons, and maybe I'll discuss that in a different podcast, but... short stories. Somebody recently wrote in and said, hey, I would love to read more, but my attention span, sometimes I can't focus and I lose interest, but I would, what can you tell me? Maybe start with short stories. You know, they tend to be, they're shorter, aren't they? You can find them in every genre. So Stephen King's got many short story collections if you're into that thing, that kind of thing. And boy, some of them are just terrific. Most are terrific. But yeah, anything. Sci-fi, drama, suspense, crime, anything you can find in short stories. So maybe start there and work your way up to novels. So... the short story I read this week was one that if I'd read it before, I don't remember it. But I'm still one of the few people that read physical books. I don't have a Kindle or anything like that. I certainly not opposed to them. And I bet I would enjoy having one, but I just love the feel of a book and I love, the smell of a book and all that. So I typically take books when I fly. And I think I would do that even if I did have a Kindle because I hate, I totally get why we go through TSA and all of that. And I'm fine with taking my shoes off and all of that. I get it. Whatever it takes to help keep bad things from happening, I'm fine with. But a book I don't have to do anything special with. Whereas with a Kindle or a laptop or whatever you do. So I still just bring physical books with me to the airport and on airplanes. And this book I bought at an airport because I'd forgotten whatever book it was that I was reading at home. But I also knew that I didn't want to start like a full novel. So I got this book of short stories. It was the Complete Stories of Truman Capote. And this week, I had read a few of them on that flight and everything. And then I had kind of put the book in my library and forgotten about it. But I was always aware of a short story of his that I wanted to read. And I thought, well, what better week to read it than this? The story is called A Christmas Memory. And some of you may be familiar with it. It can't be longer than 15 pages or so, but what a wallop it packs. I mean, this story is so lovely and so rich and ultimately heartbreaking. I just loved it. A Christmas Memory by Truman Capote. He most famous for writing Breakfast at Tiffany's and the true crime magnum opus In Cold Blood. And he wrote many short stories. This one was published in 1956 in Mademoiselle magazine. And I think this is now something I'm going to read every Christmas. It really floored me. It's fairly autobiographical, I read. It's about a 7-year-old boy who lives in a fairly busy household with different relatives. And one of his distant cousins is a 60-something-year-old woman. but they're kind of best friends. She's somewhat of an outcast in the family, and it seems that he sort of is too. And I certainly got the impression that she was the oldest person in the house and he was the youngest. And so they were both kind of ignored, and they bonded, and they have a very sweet relationship. And the young man, has these fond memories, a couple in particular, of the Christmas season with his distant cousin, who he refers to as his best friend. And they make fruit cakes together. She makes like 30 of them. And all year they scrape their money together and they save it. And then they go buy all the ingredients. And they have to go buy whiskey because it's an ingredient in the fruitcakes. And so they go to this family's house. And the gentleman is Native American. And he says, hey, you can buy this whiskey for $2. And they give him the money. And he goes, you know what? Instead of this money, just go ahead and send me one of those fruitcakes. And that's what they do. And they have whiskey left over after they make all these fruitcakes. And they proceed to drink the rest of it. And they get in trouble because this 60-year-old woman and this 7-year-old boy are drunk. And the family doesn't care for that at all. And there are a few other things that happen in the story. It's just sort of a recollection of this young man who's now in military school, just remembering these times. It may sound very slight to you, and it may sound uninteresting or anything like that, but I assure you it's really, really a lovely story. It can be read. I think it took me all of, 30 minutes. And so a sitcom, essentially. You've seen plenty of, reruns. Why not, seek this story out and give it a shot. I sure enjoyed it, and I know I'm going to enjoy it again in the future. A Christmas Memory by Truman Capote. I have to warn you, I cried. I'm a crier. But so maybe have a tissue or two handy. But it's not the kind of cry that will bum you out. It's more of a, reading that story is a warm experience. It's not a cold, sad experience. If you do check it out, let me know what you thought. Even if you didn't care for it, just go, you know what, Josh, that was a miss. All right, but I think if you're the type of person who is intrigued by what I've said about this story, and you do check it out, you will end up liking it. And that kind of brings me to what I would like to talk to you about this week. Christmas memories. That might seem a little on the nose, given that the story I just talked about was called A Christmas Memory. But some of you have written in and asked, hey, what were your Christmases like as a kid? And some have written in more specifically, what toys did you enjoy as a kid? And what activities, things like that? Well, Christmas is, I have very fond memories of my childhood Christmases. Every year was, we had our habitudes and our traditions and everything, and they were always terrific. Leading up to Christmas was always fun. That whole month of December, I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, with my parents and three brothers, in a small house in the suburbs. And my older brother, Jeff, is 5 years older than me. And then my younger brothers, John and Joe, they're each 2 years younger than... John is 2 years younger than me, and then Joe is 2 years younger than John. So fairly close in age. And we did not have much money at all growing up. So for a while there, we had a very small house, and all four of us had the same bedroom. There were two sets of bunk beds, and we shared a room. And then eventually, my parents ended up kind of building out the basement and added two bedrooms down there, and we were able to split up a little bit more and get our own space, which is good because that was, well, when we were kind of in the teenage years. And anyway. So, yeah, but leading up to Christmas, we would do things as a family. Of course, we would watch all the television Christmas specials and just love those. And we would make our Christmas present lists, sort of cautiously optimistic, knowing that, the Santa Claus days, we were always just optimistic. When we were writing our lists for stuff that our parents would get us, we were cautiously optimistic, knowing that, we may not get everything we wanted. So, but we would do a lot of fun. One of the big things, and I'm sure this is something that many of you do to this day, we would all hop in the car and drive around and look at Christmas lights. We would put up Christmas lights at our own house. But it was always fun to drive around the neighborhoods and see what everybody else was doing. And it was a great time. I can still, we were all crowded, cramped in the back seat of some car, one of the cars we had. And I can still picture my parents up front and my mom, looking out the window and sort of pointing things out to us. And my dad, it kind of just, I think he liked it, but he didn't have too much to say about it. But I think he enjoyed that we were all enjoying it. And it was cool. I really hope that still happens. It's something I'm still tempted to do is, I'm going to take the long way home and check out some of the Christmas lights and see what everybody else is doing. What a nice thing. I remember, and each year you would kind of go, oh my gosh, what are those? Like, at one point, Christmas lights, when I was little, they were all kind of the fat, multicolored bulbs, and that was primarily what you saw. And then sometimes we would pull up to a house that had all tiny white bulbs, and we just couldn't believe how classy that sort of looked. And now it was sort of a fancier sight. And then, my gosh, if they didn't come out with lights that hung like icicles. Oh, boy, I remember my mom really getting a kick out of those. Anyway, just nice little moments. And Christmas Eve was kind of the favorite for me, and I think for my brothers as well, more so than Christmas morning. I mean, certainly the excitement of Christmas morning. But here's what would happen on Christmas Eve every year. In the afternoon, we would go over to my grandparents' house, my mom's parents. And I always, when I was a kid, I always preferred going over there to my, than I did going to my dad's parents, because I had more in common with my mom's parents. Grandma and Grandpa Starkey. My Grandma Starkey loved scary movies, and they loved R-rated comedy and things like that. And I was my interests were more aligned with theirs. I felt like we could have more fun and get away with a little bit more over there and not misbehave, but if I made a smart aleck comment, it would usually get a laugh as opposed to sort of a stern look, which is what would happen at my dad's grandparents sometimes. So, or my dad's parents, rather. And so Christmas Eve was great. We also, so we would go over there, and for a while we had sort of traditional Christmas meals, ham or turkey and all the, but one year my grandma or whoever decided, what are we doing? We do this for Thanksgiving. Let's lighten it up a little bit on Christmas Eve. And so it turned into like this wonderful buffet of appetizers and a gigantic party sub and snacks and chips and everything. And it was great. It kind of just loosened everything up. You ate what you wanted, kind of when you wanted. There was no like real sit down and, hey, let's have a meal. It was just more of a grab what you want when you want it, and let's just have some laughs and enjoy our time together. And I just loved how relaxed it was. And then opening presents was always, obviously, as a kid, you can't believe it. And my grandma and they had little traditions. Every year, my grandma would give me a she would give me one of two things, sometimes both. Either a tin of Spam, because I loved Spam so much. I still do. I'm not ashamed to admit it. And it was just like a little stocking stuffer. She would give me a thing of Spam, and I would unwrap it like a regular gift, and or a box of Boo Berry cereal, which was also one of my favorite things when I was a kid. And you couldn't always find Boo Berry at the grocery store, so my grandma would find it any time of year and save it for me for Christmas. And sometimes there's a good chance she bought it like the March before because, it had the consistency of chewing gum when I would go to eat it. But I always felt so special it was almost like a thing where my grandma, it was like, oh, she remembered this year that, she was thinking about me at a time when she didn't have to. And she knew how much I loved it. It was just, and I bet she got a real kick out of each year going, oh, I got to get Josh the Spam or whatever. Because I get a kick out of doing things like that now. And my grandpa had this very cool tradition this has to have come from when he was like a little boy. They always got a real Christmas tree, and they had traditional ornaments and tinsel and everything. But my grandpa every year would make ornaments out of walnut shells. So he would get walnuts and he would crack them open very carefully so that they were just two halves. And so they didn't shatter or crumble, but it was just two perfect halves. And he would scoop out all the walnut meat, and he would fill these walnuts with money. He would put a couple quarters in there or a folded up dollar bill. And then he would glue the walnut back together. And each year, he would walk us up to the Christmas tree, my brothers and my cousins and I, and we could pick a walnut off the tree. And it was kind of like the lottery. Obviously, if you picked up a walnut and it rattled, you knew there were coins in there. But if it didn't rattle, you knew there was a dollar bill in there. So eventually, I believe he just filled them all with dollar bills. And but what an interesting, cool thing. You would crack open the walnut and money inside. And as a kid, getting a couple quarters or getting some folding money, it was amazing. What a nice little addition to Christmas. And I still have one of those walnuts, and it's glued together, and it's on my Christmas tree today. I never opened it. I kept it, and it rattles, so I know that there are some coins in there, not a dollar bill. And I smile every time I put that up every year. Like, oh my gosh, Grandpa, this was such a cool thing. And I decided this year that unfortunately I can't start this year because I won't be with my family on Christmas and with my nieces and nephews. But I'm going to do that. I want to carry that tradition on starting next year, and it'll just be something that my nieces and nephews and any other, you know, kid who in my life, can enjoy. I think it's I know it meant a lot to me, and I think it would mean a lot to them. And boy, I know it would mean a lot to my grandpa knowing that tradition lived on. He always got a kick out of it, we sure did, and I still do when I hang that walnut up every year. And Christmas Eve was terrific at Grandma and Grandpa Starkey's, and then we would, eventually go home and we were tired and it was cold and we'd get home. But that was when we could get one present on Christmas Eve. So we would sit down in the living room by our Christmas tree and get to open one present. I think this is also a very popular tradition, and what a terrific tradition it is to be able to open one gift. And typically they were not the smallest stocking stuffer or the biggest present that you were going to get on Christmas morning, but just a nice gift. Oh my gosh, this is a taste of what's to come in 10 hours or so, or well, let's say if we're 10 p.m., 8 hours. I mean, my parents would be lucky if we waited until 6 a.m. to wake them up and go find out what Santa brought us. But always really fun, and we had a lot of laughs doing that. And I don't remember the only Christmas Eve present I really remember somebody getting. My brother Joe opened up a cassette single of MC Hammer's Too Legit to Quit. And this memory sticks with me because he opened it up and he was so excited that he immediately, he must have been, I don't know, six or something. He immediately stood up and began singing and dancing to Too Legit to Quit. And it killed. We all just lost it. We couldn't believe how funny it was. So I certainly remember that. And then, my gosh, we'd go to bed and talk, you know, as if you've ever shared a room with a brother or a sister, you know that there's a lot of chatter sometimes before you drift off to sleep. A lot of checking on each other's sleep status. Are you still awake? That kind of thing. And eventually we did. We drifted off to sleep and would wake up throughout the night. Sometimes take a trip to the bathroom to see if you could, well, you probably had to go to the bathroom, but also see if you could sneak a peek, you know, down the hall, see if there was anything sort of visible underneath the tree there. And then when we did get up, oh my gosh, running to my parents' room and waking them up and then heading down out to the Christmas tree. Santa always put together whatever it was that we got. I was always sort of amazed by that we didn't get wrapped gifts. We got, they were fully assembled and ready for us to play with. And I have a couple theories on that. You know, I used to think, well, maybe Santa was lazy and didn't want to wrap all the gifts. He just wanted to throw them under the tree. But then I thought, wait a minute. A lot of this stuff takes some time to assemble and put together. There's nothing lazy about that. And then I kind of came to realize, oh, I think this might, now my theory is this may have been a money issue. This may have been a, hey, I know wrapping paper is only $2 or $3 a roll or whatever, but if we don't have to buy it, let's not buy it. Let's just open up the, this is, yeah, maybe Santa said, hey, no reason for that. Anyway, boy, we would go check out our gifts, and Santa would always leave them in separate sections. So there would be the Jeff area, you know, all the stuff he asked for or close to were there. It was there, and all the stuff was in one other section. So we all knew what we were getting immediately. And, oh, boy, we just had a ball. Just a wonderful time. And then after we settled down a little bit with those gifts, we would get a family gift. And one year, I remember, it was Teddy Ruxpin. And we couldn't believe it. Why? Because all year, we had heard that we would not be getting a Teddy Ruxpin. And the family gift was always from my parents. It was not a Santa thing. And so my dad, looking back, my dad was so good at preparing us for disappointment and then surprising the hell out of us. He would let us know. We wouldn't even have to say, hey, Dad, we really want this. He would just go, hey, I bet you guys would like that, But I'm just going to tell you right now, don't even think about it. It's not going to happen. You're not getting it. And every year we fell for this. Every year we went, okay, this is the year. Because financial trouble was like a real thing for us all year. So we didn't have, even though he would pull this on us every Christmas, we didn't have any reason to not believe him. And sometimes he would even throw in things like, this year's been particularly tough. We had to really buckle down. You're not getting, in this case, the Teddy Ruxpin. Okay. And boy, when he would come out with one of these family gifts that we were told there was no way we were getting. I mean, we just, you can imagine, just hit the ceiling. A Super Nintendo. Well, boy, I remember getting the regular Nintendo first. And I remember hearing about the regular Nintendo when my brother Jeff said, you know, they're coming out with this thing. Because we had like a ColecoVision and an Intellivision, all these old gaming systems. But and they were fun. We loved them. But when Nintendo came out, I remember my brother Jeff coming up to me and going, you know that Super Mario Brothers game we try to play at Pizza Hut or whatever? I mean, like, yeah, I remember him going, there's a thing that lets you play that at home. My mind was blown. I was like, well, we have to get it. And so, yeah, one year the family present was the Nintendo. And then another year it was the Super Nintendo. And one year we got a robot. And I don't remember what it was called, but I remember my dad going, you guys ready for the family gift? And we were like, oh, yes. And he pulled out this remote control. And this robot about the size of a small trash can rolled into the living room, and it was carrying like a tray, and that was the family gift, and we loved it. We were like, what? But the thing sucked. As we started to play with it and like figure out what it could do. It could do like nothing. It was like essentially a remote control car. It couldn't do anything. It didn't talk, if I remember correctly, and it didn't move its arms. You could set things on the tray, and it would, you know, wheel it to across the room or whatever. And then I think it broke like immediately within a couple days. So that ended up being a big flop, unfortunately. Now, looking back, and some of you might be going, Josh, you talk about how your family didn't have any money, but then you talk about getting presents and a Super Nintendo and a robot. And all. I have a feeling, and I've never asked my parents about this, and I could ask my mom, but I don't know that they want to. There's really no reason to. I think they really got themselves into some debt. Over the holidays, now we were paycheck to paycheck. The house was very month to month, so I can't imagine. I mean, if they were saving all year, boy, it wasn't much. And I think they just had a couple credit cards, and they just went, you know what, our boys, let's just try to give them a good Christmas, and they would go ahead and just rack up some credit card debt. And looking back on that, you know, it's easy to try to be sort of, to think of it responsibly and go, oh man, why would they do that? That's such a bad thing to do. It ends up costing so much more money in the long run. And, if you don't have the money, you can't get, I sure thank them for putting themselves in that position. I mean, what a sacrifice. It just means so much to me that they did whatever it took to give us a nice holiday. And of course, presents don't make the holiday. You know, there's a lot other stuff that goes along with it. But little kids who are constantly surrounded by other little kids who particularly other like upper middle class kids. And if you're lower middle class and you don't always get what the other kids get, or you don't always go on the vacations those kids get, or have the same kind of food in the pantry and things like that. I mean, it does, it makes a difference, and they, my goodness, they really, my parents really made some sacrifices, I think. And I'll always be thankful for that, even if it wasn't necessarily the responsible thing to do. I'm in awe of even outside of the holidays, the sacrifices that parents make for their children. It's pretty amazing. And what would happen after Christmas morning is we would have a few hours to kind of play with our new toys or video games or whatever at home, and then we would have to get dressed and get ready to go to my dad's parents' house, Grandma and Grandpa Arnold. And again, none of us were particularly excited to go over there. Now, don't get me wrong. My Grandma and Grandpa Arnold were two of the greatest people that ever lived. And I think you would say that if you just met them for a few minutes. You didn't even have to be a family member or a close friend to them. You would just know that they were wonderful people, so nice, so generous, but they were just, not prudes per se or anything like that, but they just didn't like the same things that I liked. If my grandma and grandpa Starkey, for instance, would take me to see Lethal Weapon 2, or I remember they took me to see The Exorcist 3. and we all loved it. Like they enjoyed it and I enjoyed it and it was a great time. But when my grandma Arnold would take us to the movies, it was to see, the Care Bears movie or whatever. That's just how it was. Now, my two youngest brothers and I did talk my grandma and Grandpa Arnold into taking us to see Ace Ventura when that came out, the first one. And they were mortified. They couldn't have been more miserable and bummed out. And I think, and that's not like the filthiest movie you can see, but for their standards, they may as well have taken us to some X-rated movie. And they were doubly bummed out because they hated it. They hated the movie. But they must have been so sad and concerned with how hard my brothers and I were laughing. They must have gone, who are these kids? What has Larry done to them? This is... Oh, boy. And... but, my gosh, I mean... Just the fact that my grandparents wanted to take us somewhere. I just love that. So we knew we weren't going to have as many, we weren't going to be as relaxed over there as we were at my other grandparents' house. But hey, Christmas Day, loved my grandparents and, wanted to see my cousins and everything like that. But there was another problem on Christmas Day. And, looking back, it's a slight issue or whatever. But as a kid, it was a little rough. On my grandma and grandpa Starkey's side, my mom's side, three siblings, my grandparents had three siblings. And then we were there were only like seven when I was little. There were only like seven or eight of us grandkids. Well, on my dad's side, they had four kids and... each of those four kids had a lot of kids, so there were a bunch more, and there were some extended cousins and things like that. It was just a way bigger Christmas. And what they decided over there one year was, hey, instead of people trying to buy presents for all of these kids, let's draw names, which is a great system, and it works for a lot of families. But my parents... had four boys, and that meant that they had to draw four other names and buy presents for, four of my cousins or whatever. and they couldn't afford it. And so they opted out of the name drawing system, which meant that we, my brothers and I, didn't get presents over there. Now, my grandparents would still give us presents. And my aunt, who was also my godmother, would give me a small gift or whatever. But whenever the present opening time came, we would all sit down, and my brothers and I would watch my cousins open all their gifts. And I don't blame, and it was hard. You know, as a kid, that stuff matters. And we grew to resent it. And I was never upset with I may have been at first. Like, Mom and Dad, why are we not a part of this? And they would explain that it was a money issue. But come to find out, it was also, there was another issue. One of my aunts drew my brother John's name one year, and he opened up a gift that was clearly like my cousin's old toy. It was a board game, and it didn't have the cellophane on it, and it was missing pieces, and it was a dirtbag move for my aunt to do this. Whether it was purchased, maybe it was bought at a garage sale or something. But that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, too, of like, why would we make sacrifices and spend money we don't have for this if one of my kids is going to get the shaft? I think that was kind of my dad's. So he opted out completely. And, it was a bit of a bummer. I mean, we still had a good time over there. And there was still a lot of warmth and love and some laughs, but it wasn't as exciting and fun as Grandma and Grandpa Starkey's house. Now, my Grandpa Arnold had a tradition, though, that to this day my brothers and I talk about. We just, at the time, didn't realize how cool this was, and now we're just like, oh, why didn't we appreciate this more when it was happening? My grandpa, all year, he owned a hardware store, independently owned in St. Louis. It was called Arnold Hardware. And he made a very fine living at it. And so he loved tools, and he loved working with his hands and everything. So even after he retired and sold his hardware store, he would, throughout the year, look for sales on tools, and he would buy up all these tools. And he would line them up on Christmas. He would lay them out all out on this table. And each grandkid, depending on how many tools were on the table, he would go to that table and pick out three things. Sometimes he would go pick out one thing, or he would, you know, whatever it was that he spent that year. It was, as a kid, you go, hey, thanks for the level and the box of screwdrivers or whatever. But then as we started to get a little older, that was such a huge highlight. Like, what tools can we get this year from Grandpa? And it was great. And now I still have a ton of those tools that I, but the difference is, as like an adult, I'm using them. Like I saved them up, and my brothers did too. And then we kind of look back and go, man, why didn't we appreciate that more? Well, they were tools. I mean, what do you want a kid to do, get that excited for? But man, what an awesome thing. And that's certainly a fond memory I have of Grandma and Grandpa Arnold. I think about my family a lot during the holidays, as I'm sure you do too. And I think about these little traditions. And, you know, it's interesting. The holidays are such a wonderful time, but they can also be a tough time. I have a lot of sympathy for families who have struggles like my family had financially. But I want you to know, if you're in that kind of situation, and maybe more of you are this year than you have been in the past, presents are great. And, you know, all the material stuff that go along with the holidays are really, really fun. But looking back at my Christmases, we didn't get a lot every year, but what we got was great. But it was the time spent, and it's easy to ignore that when you're a kid, or at least to not realize it when you're a kid. But when you're older, you go, oh my gosh, it's not so much about the present as it is about the person you're giving it to, and it's not so much about the present you're getting, but about who gave it to you and what they must have been thinking about when they bought it for you, and how much they care about you to get you something. And it's really, really, really just a time to give each other your appreciation and your love and your time. That's always the best gift. And I really think these traditions might be the greatest gift of the holiday season, to have walnut ornaments or have a table of tools, and then, you know, eventually one of your grandkids ends up doing that for their family too. So it's I really do cherish, even though there were some tough moments, all my Christmas memories. And I do want to stop sharing memories. The last memory I want to share with you is something that my mom did a couple times over the years. And it really would make us laugh at the time, and it still makes me laugh and smile. And that is, we all had stockings, and we would get stocking stuffers. Well, again, not to harp on this too much, not a lot of money going around with my family. So she would occasionally find things that could become stocking stuffers. For instance, toys in a cereal box, she thought would make a fine Christmas gift. Or, stocking stuffer. The problem was, throughout the year, my brothers and I would have boxes of cereal. And as we would get to the bottom of them, excited about whatever toy was being advertised on the box, and it was never in there. We thought we were the most unlucky kids in the world, where they just, General Mills forgot to package the cereal toy in our box. Little did we know that my mom would get home fresh from the grocery store, open up the box, and then just go elbow deep into the cereal, find the toy, yank it out, and hide it so that she could put it in our stockings for Christmas. So that always amused us, but it got out of control when one year I opened up, this wasn't even a stocking stuffer, she handed it to me as a present, it was wrapped. I opened it up, and they were CDs that I had ordered and paid for months before from BMG. I was working at the time. I was a teenager, and I would save my money, and I would order CDs from BMG, which was it was a Columbia house. And I go, Mom, but I was supposed to get these CDs like 3 months ago. And she goes, well, I thought I would surprise you now. And I said, I was on the phone with BMG yelling at them because they said they shipped me these CDs and they charged me for them, and I never got them. And she goes, well, it's a... I go, you stole my mail. This isn't a gift. This is a federal offense. And she started laughing, and then, of course I laughed, and, well, hell, I opened up the CDs that I had bought myself months before. So, a lot of fond memories for the holidays, and that brings me to what I would like for all of us to work on this week. That is some good music right there. That is... Oh, look at that! Did Ebenezer learn his lesson? That's right. That's those bells you hear are still the ghost from earlier. So, it's a simple one this week, really. It's Christmas week. What I would like for all of us to do this week is this. And by the way, this is not a cop out. I had other ideas, but this was my favorite. I would like us all to just enjoy the holidays. Just kick back, have fun. Don't worry too much about anything. Don't worry about, don't feel obliged to do too many things. Just enjoy the people you're with and the season. All right? I think you will. I hope you do. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas or whatever it is you're celebrating. And I hope that you'll come hang out with me next week and we can talk about our Christmases and, maybe the new year. So thank you so much for spending time with me this week. And my goodness, Merry Christmas.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
The place where I, Megan Klingenberg, a World Cup expert, teaches you everything that you need to know for this summer's World Cup.
How special is it that we've been able to follow this young group of guys?
It's been such a roller coaster of emotions.
You can feel the intensity.
Quite a bit of time, energy, effort, everything along the way on these guys making the country proud. And I think they will this summer.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast, presented by Henkel. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.